Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get with Fran Duffy, one of the best in the business when it comes to covering the NFL draft. Love having him on. Love talking to him this time of year. This is like Christmas week for you, isn't it, pal?
It is. Things are constantly flying left and right. And as we get closer, we know that the information, the scuttlebutt, the rumors, all this stuff is only just picking up more and more steam. So things will change by the day, but I'm excited for Thursday night to get here.
Fran Duffy joining me on the Wester Hotline. Follow him at F Duffy NFL. He's always done a great job. Covers the Eagles as well. All City Network when it comes to the NFL draft. All right, Fran. So I think here in Buffalo, we can just kind of focus in on a couple spots. I think we're looking at D-line and corner most likely early for the Bills. Is wide receiver out of the question? Probably not. I think it's unlikely, but you never know. From what you've seen, what you've heard, what kind of players could be available at 30 if the Bills were to stay there in the interior defensive line, maybe even edge and at corner?
Yeah, honestly, this works for me in my wheelhouse because, as you said, I cover the Eagles as well on a part-time basis, and they will certainly be looking at defensive linemen as well. I think when you're looking at this class, you know, everybody is very quick to say it's a really good class, and it is. I think when you're looking at the total number of players that are selected between on the first 2 days of the draft, all three days of the draft, it's going to be some historic numbers from the interior defensive linemen and from the edge rushers. But that said, it is a kind of the beauty is in the eye of the beholder type of group as well, where it depends on what you need, what you look for, what your preferences are at the position. All of these guys are kind of coming with warts. Maybe there's a lack of production, you know, some off-field concerns, some medical concerns, everything kind of jumbled in. And so where are you willing as a franchise to make those concessions? And so, you know, for me, when I look at the Bills, you know, a couple guys kind of come to mind that I think make a ton of sense for them. Because we know that they like that ability to slide guys up and down the line of scrimmage. If you're going to draft an edge rusher, you think of the AJ Epinesas of the world. Now they've also gone out, and we know that they've gotten some Von Millers, those pure edge guys as well. And so I think they could dip into either spot. But I think to me, you know, guys like when you're looking at potential trade back options from the end of round one, you know, Landon Jackson, I think kind of fits that ethos of the Buffalo Bills, right? JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State, I think he fits that ethos, the culture that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean had worked to build over the last few years, you know, in Buffalo, and kind of fit the bones of that defense. And then I think when you're looking at potential, like, pure line them up off the edge and just kind of let them rush, Donovan Ezeraku is a guy as well, I think, has that off-field component, and then also just a very skilled player that can get off the field on third down. And when you're looking at the interior guys, it really feels like Kenneth Grant has started to build a lot of steam here in this spot. But the problem is that I've heard Kenneth Grant could go as high as number 16. You look at number 21 potentially to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, you know, there's a wide range of opinions on Kenneth Grant. There's a wide range of where a Walter Nolan could end up going off the board from Ole Miss. Now, the thing with the Bills that I always kind of keep in mind, we know that Brandon Bean, if he has a guy that he likes, he's going to be aggressive. And sometimes it's just that short little trade up, you know, where you move from, you know, 29 to 28 or 29 to 25, you know, the 3-4 spots. You know, we saw them do it with Dalton Kincaid. We've seen them do it numerous times, Kyir Elam. So I think that if they've got a player that they have earmarked that's a good fit and he's the last guy left in a certain tier, they'll get aggressive in those spots.
any chance at all that Derek Harmon is there? And what about Tyleek Williams if that's a possibility still at 30?
Yeah, I think Williams makes a lot of sense if they stay put at 30. You know, you start to hear his name being mentioned with the teams, we'll say like mid-20s. So my guess is that he is likely on the board for them there at 30. As far as Harmon, that's the thing with him is that there are a lot of people that are really big fans of him. I've heard that Pittsburgh really, really likes Harmon at 21. It all depends on how much you feel that they could go quarterback, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I for one, think that they're going to pass on the quarterback position in the first round. I do think that they're going to target a defensive lineman, and Derek Harmon is a guy that checks a lot of the boxes for them. So to me, I think it's unlikely that Derek Harmon is there for Buffalo. I think he would require some kind of a deal up, and that's why part of me thinks that it could be Kenneth Grant. The other team that's a landmine here at this position, though, is the Green Bay Packers. And they pick smack in between Buffalo and between Pittsburgh. And so that's another team where if Kenneth Grant is on the board and, you know, let's say the edge rushers, the Shamar Stewarts and the Michael Williams of the world, they are gone and off the board. I think that they could go with the Kenneth Grant as well. And so that's why Buffalo is fascinating, because I think for a number of these names, you might have to trade up a little bit. But that's something that we've seen Brandon Bean is willing to do.
Fran Duffy joining me on the Wester Hotline. How about corner? Obviously a spot where the Bills are going to address at some point here. They just signed Tre'Davious White, re-signed him, brought him back. Same with Dane Jackson. They leave, they come back a year later in White's case, I think 2 years later in Dane Jackson's case. Either way, though, doesn't preclude them from still drafting and needing somebody to develop outside, opposite of Christian Benford. What are we looking at from a standpoint of cornerbacks in this area?
Yeah, I think that there's a handful of names certainly to know. I think that when you're looking at Siobhan Revel, the corner from ECU, he is a player that, you know, behind the scenes, I've heard linked to Buffalo in a couple different conversations. And so he is one. Me personally, Sal, I'm a big fan of this kid's game. You look at, talk about like overall traits, height, weight, speed, it's there. You look at the production on a per snap basis, it's there. The only question really is just the overall profile. He's an older player who started for a couple years at the junior college level, transferred to ECU, and you only had really a year and short change at that, of real starting experience, because he tore his ACL in September after the third game. And so when you're looking at Siobhan Revel, you are betting on the come. You are betting that, you know, this is a guy that can come in and make an impact. He just hasn't done it at a high level of competition with a long runway of starting experience. And so there is a little bit of a gamble there. But look, if this guy had played a full season, my guess is he's going off the board in the top 15 and the top 12. That's the kind of talent that he brings to the table. We know that the Bills in the past, primarily zone coverage team, a lot of the scuttlebutt has been that they want to play a little bit more man coverage, and some of the coaches they brought in this offseason kind of speak to that, you know, with their man coverage background. And so I think Revel would give them a really good kind of turnkey there, with somebody that can come in, play pure press man at a high level, and be able to execute that. The other guy I would say, there are two players really. Maxwell Harrison, he's the low-hanging fruit. He's been one of the more highly mocked players to the Buffalo Bills. It does feel like he's going to be a lock first round pick, and I almost look at Buffalo as potentially the floor there for Harrison. And then the other one, this is a guy that was in a lot of round one mocks coming into the season, but then after a hip surgery cut his season in half. That's Notre Dame cornerback Benjamin Morrison. You're not hearing him as much in the first round conversation now because of that hip surgery, but all the medical feedback has been pretty clean with him. It's just going to be a matter of how do you feel about a corner that has had now two hip surgeries in 4 years? Because he had one back in high school as well. Now, high character kid, went to Notre Dame, started early, 3-year player, productive. He's tough, he's physical, he's versatile. He can play press, he can play off. Instincts are good across the board. So I think when you're looking at Morrison, he's like a keep it on the fairway type of selection. I think with Revel and even with Harrison, I think that's a little bit more like, hey, like the higher boom, higher upside type of swing there at the position. I think if depending on who you talk to in Buffalo, and say like, hey, we are in a position now, we have to take some bigger swings. We need to try and find more blue chip talent to keep pace here in the AFC, as opposed to keeping it on the fairway with a player like Morrison.
Okay, so Bills fans will tell you how much they think they still need to upgrade at wide receiver. I don't think the Bills organization feels that way. They just had the league MVP with a whole bunch of guys that Josh Allen is throwing to. But I do think there's an appetite for the Bills to get faster at wide receiver on day number three. Is there anybody on day number three who you look at and say, you know what, that's a guy that might be able to come in and at least play a little bit early on in the career and give you some explosive plays?
Yeah, you know, I would say, you know, Ty Felton is one of the first names that comes to mind. A senior wide receiver from Maryland, was one of the most explosive playmakers at wide receiver over the first half of the season. Then teams really just kind of dialed in on taking him out of the game for the Terps and kind of shut that down. But I do think that he profiles as a nice speed receiver on the outside, get the ball in his hands and let him make plays. He still needs to clean some things up as a route runner, but this guy is a springy athlete. So that's one that certainly comes to mind. You know, the Isaiah Bond of it all, I think, is going to be fascinating to watch. I know the Bills have spent a ton of time with Isaiah Bond over this pre-draft process. Some off-field accusations in recent weeks could impact what that draft slot looks like. Is it going to be day two? Could he fall into the early stages of day three? That is certainly one that I've got my eye on. And then Shamir Dike from Florida, started his career at Wisconsin for 3 years, was largely unproductive in that pass game just because the volume wasn't there for the Badgers, but went down to Florida this year, and I thought he looked pretty good. The film was strong with Dike. Goes to the Senior Bowl, solid week. I thought he had one of the better positional workouts of all the receivers at the Combine, and he tested well on top of it. But this is an explosive athlete that has that ability to be that three-level threat. So if you're talking day three, DK would be another person from Florida to keep in mind.
Okay, overall, first round. Where do you feel, how many quarterbacks, I should say, do you feel go in the first round? And where do you think everybody is right now on Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah, that's certainly the big topic of conversation. I think if you were going to do an over-under, I would set it at 1.5. I don't think – if it's a 2.5, I'm taking the under all day. I don't think there's more than quarterback. So now it does come down to Shedeur. I mentioned earlier that I don't think that Shedeur ends up in Pittsburgh in round one. I don't believe he ends up in New Orleans in round one. I don't think that any of the teams at the top – so it's more a matter of, is somebody going to trade up to take him, you know, in the 20s and kind of beat everybody else to the punch. But all the sourcing that the people that I've talked to over the last several weeks feel like that is going to happen, that there's got enough of a market out there. But look, all the buzz lately has been, I don't know, maybe the teams might be willing to wait because that secondary market at quarterback, the Jackson Darts, the Tyler Shucks, the Jalen Milroe's, is so strong. And if teams have those guys all pretty on a level playing field, they might feel like they can wait. And hey, we'd rather have Jalen Milroe in a third as opposed to Shedeur Sanders, and, you know, without our third round pick and without our, you know, future day three selection as well. And so I wish I knew the answer, but to me, that's certainly going to be one of the big storylines of night one.
Yeah, and as I was just saying before you came on, you never know if a team climbs back into the first round and says, look, we didn't get our guy in the top 10, but let's go get him now because we get the fifth-year option, and maybe the Bills are a team you could trade with because the Bills have 10 picks. They're sitting at 30. It's what the Ravens did a few years ago, as you know, with the Eagles at 32, right?
Yeah.
And they wound up getting Lamar Jackson with the 32nd pick because you get that fifth-year option. This is another option for teams that have maybe who want to climb back into the first round. That's why maybe it's more interesting in the back end and into the second round than what we're seeing in the first round, Fran.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. So if you are a Bills fan hoping for that scenario, it's one of two things. You're either hoping that Shedeur obviously falls to you in that spot, or you're hoping that Shedeur goes in the top 10, and now that forces that kind of chums the water for, hey, you know what, like, create some urgency for those QB needy teams to try and deal up for a Jackson Dart, for the Milroe's, and then that run, because we know how this goes. The NFL draft is a game of runs, and so it's, all right, when does that quarterback run start? When does the receiver run, the corner run? And so if that run can start earlier with Shedeur Sanders going to a surprise team in the top 10, top 12, now all of a sudden that could bump the rest of the pecking order up. And so if you're a Bills fan, you're hoping for a trade down, that's the scenario. Those are the two scenarios you want to see play out.
How about the Eagles, team you cover part-time as well? What are they looking at this draft? Obviously, made a big move today, re-signing Juergens, their center. Where are they looking right now, the Super Bowl champs?
Yeah, I think if they had their druthers, they would love it to be an edge rusher. And so I think when you're looking at, you know, potential move ups for them, you know, could it be a Mike Green, the pass rusher from Marshall? Nick Scorton is a player from Texas A&M that I've been a big fan of. He was in on a 30 visit. That's been a predictive for them in the past. I think that is certainly a possibility. That's who I had them taking in my mock draft last week. But they're kind of in the same boat where when you get to the end of the first round, you don't love the value for in terms of the guys that are going off the board in that spot. So I think it could require a slight move up, or maybe it's a trade down. You acquire some more assets in that way. I don't think they'd be a James Pierce Jr. team, the pass rusher from Tennessee. Just looking at the way that Vic Fangio has deployed his edge rushers in the past, I don't think that he would be his cup of tea. And so I think when you're looking at some of these plays, it can be a little tough. the player that's been most often mocked to them is an interior defensive lineman, and that's Walter Nolan. My guess is that Nolan is going to go off the board even before Buffalo picks, so I think that would require some kind of a deal up if you were the Eagles trying to acquire Nolan.
All right, last thing before I let you go, Fran, give me one player that you would say, don't be surprised if he goes a little higher than what people might be, you know, maybe teams are higher on him than the draft community, and one player that might go a little lower than people are expecting.
It's a good question. You know, the player that I'm just having the hardest time trying to peg in terms of finding a landing spot for him has been Mike Green, the pass rusher from Marshall, who obviously had a hugely productive season this past year, was one of the most productive pass rushers in all of college football in terms of sacks and TFLs, just stuffed the stat sheet in every way possible, did it at a lower level of competition, but obviously also comes with the off-field issues that he spoke openly about at the combine, a couple of accusations going back to his time at Virginia and then even in high school. Every team is going to make a call on that and how comfortable they would be with selecting a player that has that history, even though nothing, you know, solidified and concrete and, you know, convictions or anything like that. It's still, you know, that is worrisome for a first round profile. And so trying to find a team and a match there that makes a lot of sense. I know everybody's penciling him into Atlanta at 15 overall. That's tough. That's tough to predict. And so he would be one that I think, you know, if everyone's got him going 15, if I had to say, like, all right, do you think he goes at 15 or later? My guess is it's later, personally. And so that's that's the one to answer the second part of your question. As far as a guy that could go higher, I mentioned Benjamin Morrison, the corner from Notre Dame. A couple other corners there that I think that could surprise. Revel is a player that was in first-round mocks, but it was bumped out after the injury. Wouldn't shock me if he ended up in the first round. Then the other one, I was talking with a scout last week, and he brought his name up, and I said, man, this would be just so over the moon for me. I just don't see it, but I get it with the traits. And that's Darian Porter, the corner from Iowa State, who outstanding traits when you're looking at like the pure height, weight, speed of it. In that, you know, he came in at just under 6'3", 195 pounds. He runs 4.3 flat in the 40-yard dash. Former wide receiver at Iowa State. He made the move from wide out to corner, but he did it 3 years ago. So he's got 3 years of corner. Didn't become a starter until this year, and even then was a rotational starter. And so for me personally, I would find that hard to believe that a team would take him that high. That said, when Scott brings that up and says, hey, like, don't be surprised if he sneaks in there, that just, you know, kind of caught my eye, made my ears perk up. Like, all right, like maybe there's a team on the back end that could select a player like Darian Porter.
I love him, by the way, for a Bills fit, maybe not at 30, but if there's a second-round pick there, Bills at 56, I think that if he's there, I think that's a guy that they would love to bring into their system, Darian Porter. So I'm glad you brought up his name right there. Fran, we'll let you go. Thank you so much. Tell everybody where they can find all of your work this week and leading up to the draft.
Yes, Al, I appreciate it. I've got profiles written up on nearly 230 players throughout the NFL. Just full scouting reports, combine, Senior Bowl, Shrine Bowl, whole deal.
Love
over it.
You
can check PHLY.com, all PHLY.com. You can follow me on Twitter at FDuffyNFL. I'm on Blue Sky as well. You can check out, I post the links to all that stuff there. So follow me on there, the easiest way to find all my stuff.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Enjoy draft week, man.
Appreciate it, Sal. We'll talk soon.
All right, you got it. That is Fran Duffy. Really great job right there. And he had a bunch of stuff to do with the Eagles, you know, making a move today. And he said, hey, I got to record something here. So that's why we did a little bit later than we were supposed to. And that's why I'm a little bit late to the break. But I appreciate him and being flexible right there. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And we'll come back here on a Monday, 4 days before the NFL draft.